shall be complete in thee. No more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee. Yea, justified, all blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Complete in thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete in thee, dear Savior, when before thy bar all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be, at thy right hand. Complete in thee, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Sanctified salvation wrought, thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Numbers chapter number 13, there are several verses of scripture I want to look at in this passage this morning. But for the sake of introduction this morning, let's look at verse number 23. And let me read a few verses to set the stage for where I want to go this morning with the message. The word of God says, "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought the pomegranates of the figs." The place was called the Brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, well, I like this statement, "Let us go up at once." And I want you to notice here, he didn't say go up and fight against those giants and conquer them. He simply said, let's go up and possess it. "For we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." This morning, I'd like to call your attention to three words in this portion of Scripture. And these three words we find, first of all, in verse number 24 and in verse number 33. And this is going to be the title of the message this morning, from these three words: grapes, giants, and grasshoppers. Shall we pray together? Father, Lord, we pray that You'll take this time and God, You'll touch me, my mind, my thinking. And God, You'll help me to bring across those things that are so vitally important, Lord, in Your heart this morning. And Father, I pray that You would take these truths. And God, we have the promise that Your Word will not return unto us void. And God, that You will hide these truths in our heart today. Father, You'll use this portion of Scripture to encourage Your people this hour. And God, that we would take every opportunity that is before us, and that we might, by the grace of God, be used of You in this day to make a difference and to realize the great blessings that You have for us in our life. Lord, I pray You'll do a work in every heart. And Lord, perhaps there's one here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh God, I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon that one. And God, You'd arrest their soul and they would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved before it's eternally too late. God, it is my desire that all that's said this morning, it would exalt You, Your name. You would be glorified in it all. And God, I know You will have Your perfect way in our midst. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Giants, grasshoppers, and grapes. As we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, there are three concepts that jump out in my mind that I want us to get a hold of. And as I bring out these thoughts about grapes, giants, and grasshoppers this morning, I want you to think about these three concepts, these three areas of your life, and how God is using you and how you are yielded to the hand of God to work these things in your life. And these three words or these three concepts are as follows. Number one, opportunity. What are you doing with the opportunity that God is putting before you this day, that God is leading you into? Opportunity. Number two, potential. And number three, performance. Early February, second week of February every year is the National Signing Day for college football. All leading up to that, this year for the next 2-3 years, I even saw where there's been a commitment to UCLA or USC, a quarterback in the 8th grade. So people are going after these young athletes, those that have, they think, the greatest potential to fill a need that they have. And every February they have the National Signing Day, and it's all over ESPN. The top football athletes around the country signing with the school of their choice. And then in April we have the NFL Draft. We have the number one draft pick overall. We have in early June the Major League Baseball draft. And this recently we've had the NBA draft. And everyone looking at the greatest level of potential in these athletes of the day. And we all know that many of those over the years that have been taken as the top pick in any of those drafts, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, they were considered to have the greatest potential of anyone in the market, so to speak. They failed. They failed to perform up to their potential. And what we're going to see in this portion of Scripture that we're looking at today is we're going to see a nation whom God had in His heart that He was going to bless beyond measure, that He was going to lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey. There was some of the greatest potential that they had to enjoy the blessings of God, and the opportunity was there. But the question would be, will they perform? Will they do what God will require of them? We all know the story about the nation of Israel being led by Moses and in the hand of God out of Egyptian bondage, and God performing one of the earliest miracles of parting the Red Sea, and the nation of Israel crossing the Red Sea on dry ground, and all that God did for them. And it didn't take long before those people began to murmur and complain, even though they saw the great hand of God working in their midst, and they saw the blessings of God and the protection of God and the provision of God, but yet they would complain and murmur. God would lead the nation of Israel, and they would settle for a time in the area in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. We all know what God would do in the midst of His people there at Sinai. And then the Bible says, as we approach the portion of Scripture that I read part of in the introduction, as we approach this time in the history of Israel, we find that God, He leads His people out of the wilderness of Sinai, and He is now marching them in the second year, the second month, He is marching them toward the promised land. And He settles His people in the wilderness of Paran. And there, as we come into the portion of Scripture that we've looked at this morning, we find this. God has brought them to the pinnacle of the greatest opportunity that the nation of Israel had had up to this point. And that was to go into a place that God had promised and to receive all the blessings that God wanted to give them in their life. You see, all God wanted to do for them was to give them every place that their foot would step upon. All God wanted to do for them was to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. But here's what He required, as He does of us today. He requires us to walk by faith. He requires our obedience in serving Him. He requires us to be perseverant in our serving Him, and not let obstacles and strong cities and strong walls, spiritually speaking, keep us from enjoying the blessings of God that He wants to bestow upon each of us. And God set forth leadership in the lives of a nation for them to follow as they would follow the leading of the hand of God. And so they arrive in the wilderness of Paran, very near. They had just left Sinai, and within that amount of time of leaving the wilderness of Sinai and arriving at the wilderness of Paran, less than two weeks, they could have marched and went in to Canaan land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and experienced and possessed everything that God had promised that He would do for them. I want you to notice, first of all, as we arrive in Paran, I want you to notice the gathering. In verse number 1 of chapter 13, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. And every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those that were heads of the children of Israel. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all those, but there are two very special names in this group of leaders that were gathered to hear the instructions of Moses. In verse number 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And then go down to verse number 16. These are the names of the men, these preceding verses giving the names from the tribes, each one a leader. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. So Moses, under the instructions of God, gathered these leaders together of each of the tribes for the purpose. There's some 3 million or so people now here with the nation of Israel. Joshua and Caleb, among the others, are gathered together. And God had a plan for this group of men. Look with me at verse number 18, and we find that plan. Verse number 17, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether they in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of first ripe grapes. So these men, these leaders of the tribes, they hear the instructions of Moses, what God wanted them to do. Basically to go on a fact-finding mission. To come back with the information to give the people of Israel, that it might excite them and get them encouraged and be ready to go and take this opportunity that God had put before them. You know, there could have been an easier way that God done this. He could have shown them all of this. He could have made it very clear to them what was there, and that there was no obstacle too great for him, and that he could have told them audibly everything that they needed to know that would have given them comfort and would have given them courage. But you see, God was preparing to put these leaders through a test. For 40 days they would go into the land and spy it out, 40 being in biblical numerology the number of testing, the number of trial. And so God had a plan in this. But wouldn't it be so easy, folks, this morning, concerning the big things in our life, that great decision that's before us in our family, wouldn't it be so much easier if God would just, in such a way, just lay it out before us and make it so easy for us to make the decision? To take away the complicated thing of seeing through the eyes of faith and discerning the will of God in the matter and keeping our eyes focused on eternity and how God is working in the moment for eternity. You see, that would be the easiest thing. But you see, God wants us, as He did the nation of Israel, to walk by faith, to walk by obedience, to persevere in times of testing, and to follow the leadership that God has placed in our lives to lead us as God would lead them. Yeah, we can look through the Bible. We can find many difficult times that God tried His people where He could have made it so much easier. But it wasn't God's plan. He was looking for people with faith, with people who would obey and trust Him and realize that there's nothing too great for God. There's nothing impossible with God. And to walk in that way. So we see, first of all, this gathering and the instructions given to those who would bring back a report after 40 days of journeying and examining and gathering facts about the land that God wanted them to inquire of. Number two, not only do we see the gathering, but we see the grapes. And this morning, as we look at the grapes in verse number 23 through verse 27, there's a beautiful picture here. And some months ago, as I was studying this passage and I was doing a word study concerning this, God showed me some amazing things about the grapes in this passage and how they represent us, how they represent those who have followed and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and following His will and serving Him every day. Let's look at it. Verse number 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a shaft. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. First of all, I want you to notice as these spies come to this place, Eshcol. It says they came unto the brook. And I want you to think about this brook. And I want you to think about a brook in general. It's a narrow valley. a narrow place, and usually there's a small stream running through, a channel, if you will. And as we think about what they were about to find here at the Brook Eshkol, this cluster of grapes that were beyond imagination, beyond anything they could have even dreamed that they might find, I want you to think about this as being God opening a way as a channel of blessing in their life. God was going to show them just a glimpse of what they would be blessed with in this land flowing with milk and honey. And you know, when I think about our lives and to experience the blessings and to walk in a victorious Christian life, as is a picture of the land of Canaan, spiritually speaking, that God, He has given us an any way to find the blessing, not a wide path to find what God wants to do in our life, but it's a very narrow, when regarding salvation, the way is one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But not only in salvation, but in service, it's a narrow way. And people today, it's popular to try to broaden that way to appeal to the multitudes and appeal to the masses. But to find the very blessing, the pinpointed blessing that God wants to bring into your life, many times it's a very narrow passage. That brook with that little stream, and it looks like it's a difficult way to travel, but at the end of it you find things beyond what you ever dreamed God could do in your life, because you were willing just to trust Him and follow that path. The greatest path that God could ever give us is right here in the pages of His Word. And what thus saith the Lord every day is that brook that we follow. And in the end of it, we find the grapes of Eshkol. We find the blessings of God. We find a land, spiritually speaking, in serving the Lord in this day, flowing with milk and honey and all of the blessings that God wants to bring into our life. And then we find the word Eshkol. As we look at this word Eshkol, it has the idea of, man, I love this. I about shouted the roof off whenever I studied this the first time. Folks, it's us. It's the body of Christ. Eshkol has the idea of a cluster where many become one. The grapes of Eshkol. A cluster of many that become one into this vine that was cut off. In this congregation of believers today, there are many. There are many that represent various talents, spiritual gifts that God has given us at the moment of salvation. And I trust that we have, in working out our salvation, that we have pinpointed the spiritual gift or gifts that God has given us, and we have nurtured those and equipped ourselves to be used of God in this day to exercise those things that God, by His graciousness, has given us. There are various abilities in this congregation this morning, but yet there is one Spirit. There is one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of us, a cluster, who have been baptized into one body, serving together under the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, being used. Now folks, it's difficult to bring a group of people together to accomplish anything in this day. But if we would just fix our heart and our mind upon what God is doing in the hearts of His people, and that He has equipped me, and He has equipped you, and He has gifted me and you, and He has given you talent and talent abilities, and if we could just take that cluster and bring them together as one, what great blessings God would have for us, as He would have for His people here. We find the branch that these grapes are attached to. And it reminds me that of this unity, of this oneness. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ when He said, I am the true vine. And we, having trusted Him, have been grafted in to that, a cluster, being one now, grafted in to the true vine. What blessings that God would have for us. And the pomegranates, the word pomegranate there, as I study, has the idea of to be exalted, to be lifted up. You see, it's what God wanted to do for His people. He wanted to exalt them, to lift them up, to bless them, to give them. Oh, it wasn't going to be free of trial. It wasn't going to be free of obstacle. They were going to face walled cities. They were going to face giants. They were going to face difficult days. But all God wanted them to do is by faith, trust Him, walk with Him, obey Him, trust the leadership that God had put in their way. And then He was going to pour out a blessing that they couldn't even contain in their life. He was going to do so many great things for them. Enemy after enemy would fall right before them if He was leading the way, if He was doing the fighting for them. Oh, how He wanted to bless, how He wanted to lift up the nation of Israel. 12 of these men went. Two of these, this is interesting here as I've studied this. Look at verse number 23. It says that this one cluster of grapes, they bear it between two upon the staff. We know that in Bible numbers, the number two is the number of witness. When I think about the witness of these 12 spies, when they came back to report to Moses and the people, there were only two that had the right witness. Joshua and Caleb. And I believe, and I might be wrong, I'll ask when I get to heaven, but I believe that Joshua and Caleb were the ones carrying because they had the faith to believe. They knew that this was the blessing of God, and they had the truthful, the faithful, the obedient witness that they would bring back to the nation of Israel. And look with me in verse number 27. After 40 days of spying out the land and searching it out and gathering facts, in verse number 27, and they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us." And look at this. "And surely," absolutely, "it does without a doubt, surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it." Bearing witness to the great blessing that God... This is exactly what God said it was. Look at these grapes. This place, a land flowing with milk and honey, it's exactly what God has said it was. And it's ours to go take it, to go possess it. But I want you to notice thirdly this morning, I want you to notice the giants and the grasshoppers. Verse number 28. The Amalekites, nevertheless, the people be strong. All right? Here are the obstacles, they're saying. They say, here are some of the blessings, but nevertheless, the people are be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites. The land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb speaks. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let us go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said. Well, let's look before they say, let's look over at chapter 14 and verse number 6. Let's see what Joshua says about it. Caleb spoke. Here's what Joshua has to say. And then we'll look at what the other 10 have to say. Verse 6 of chapter 14. "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. They spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Now go back with me to chapter 13. Now here's why He said what He said in verse number 31. But the men that went up with Him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for we are strong, they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Now that upset Caleb, and it upset Joshua. Now go back with me to verse 9 of 14. And here's Joshua. Him and Caleb and Joshua, they rent their clothes and they're saying, what's wrong with you? Paraphrasing. But look at verse number 9. Joshua, he says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. This is where I believe we get, man, it's a piece of cake. All we got to do is go and take it. That's easy. It's a piece of cake. Joshua says, it is bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle and the congregation before the children of Israel. They went back with a report. They all saw the same land. They all saw the same opportunity for blessing. Joshua and Caleb said, let us go. The others said, we're not able to go. These were all leaders among their people. What's the people going to do? Who are they going to listen to? Who are they going to trust? Here are two men. They said, we're well able. We can go and we can possess it. We can have all the grapes of Eshcol. We can have this land flowing with milk and honey. We can conquer every place that we put our foot down, God will give it to us. Let's go and possess it. Their defense has departed from them. God has gone before us. Another group saying, we're not able to go and take it. They treat the inhabitants cruelly. The giants of Anak are there. And we, being in their sight, are like little insects, little grasshoppers against these giants. We cannot go. You see, the problem wasn't the fact that there were giants in the land. The problem for us is that when we look and we see a great obstacle to overcome, it's not so much the obstacle. You see, we can see things not as they are, but most times we see things as, now listen to this, as we are. You with me? Yes, it's big. It's a difficult task. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of faith. It's going to take a lot of perseverance. It's going to take some going through some trials. That's all. Those are all facts concerning people of God serving God by faith. But you see, it's not so much looking at that obstacle and seeing the magnitude of its challenge, but it's about me. I see it that way, not because of what it is, but because of who I am and what my faith is right now. And what my obedience is right now. And what my trust is right now. You see, God has given you and I grand opportunities as He gave the nation of Israel here to enter a land.
You see, He's given us the same opportunity by saving us from the devil's hell and putting the Canaan land before us, spiritually speaking, a place where we walk and we live and we have the fullness of the joy of the Lord in our soul, and we're walking victorious. And when we face the enemies, we're able to walk through the enemy because God is walking with us, and He's given us the strength to overcome. And He's constantly working in us that we are more than conquerors up against any foe, because their defense has departed them, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That's what God wants us to see. That in every opportunity, against every trial, against every giant, He doesn't want us to look at the magnitude or how enormous that is, but He wants us to see ourselves and realize that only by faith in God can I overcome this trial, this obstacle, whatever it is that's before me. Only by faith and walking with God in obedience am I going to see that giant become a grasshopper in my eyes. And you see, that's what God would have done for the nation of Israel. Those giants of Anak would have become as grasshoppers in their sight, because their defense was departed. Joshua and Caleb believed it. They knew it. And they knew that because of God going before them and God taking the defense of their enemies down, that they were well able to go and possess the land. It was a piece of cake. Christian friend, this morning, Boiling Springs Baptist Church, may I ask you this question? Is the best yet to be? Or is the best behind us? Oh, I can think of great days. And I just, the middle of June, June the 10th, celebrated 20 years that God had called me to preach. And I can think back in those 20 years and so many blessings. And you know, we were talking last night I had mentioned to my son's girlfriend's father that Pastor Cody was someone that I had the opportunity to minister to when he was young as his youth pastor. And I think of Brother Cody, and I think of his sister and her husband and others who were in our youth group back in those days. And some of the greatest blessings is to see them just serving the Lord, pastoring, going to the mission field, just being faithful, being a deacon, just working with the youth, just being faithful to the Lord. Many great things that God has allowed me to do in serving Him. But was that the best? Is the best finished? Is it over? Or are there greater things? Better things, only because they're what God has for us that would make them. You see, we can't stay in the past and look at how great it was and how many blessings were. We have to, in going forward until Jesus comes, experience those new beginnings. Experience that new challenge and the new blessings. Because those are the opportunities that God will be putting and is putting before us, to where He wants us having the potential, because Christ is in us. We're more than conquerors. Christ is in us. We have the potential, folks, to do anything that God asks us to do. And when He puts the opportunity there, the question is, will we perform in the power of the Lord? We must, before Jesus comes, do something with the opportunities for God's glory, for eternity's sake. We must do something with those opportunities to change our generation, to change my generation. You change your generation. To be used of God to see a great revival sweep across America as we've not seen in decade upon decade. What opportunity is God putting before you this day something that you've been praying about. Even someone has told you that you have the potential to do that. You've been working to increase your being equipped to do that. How will you perform? By faith, in obedience, persevering, following the godly leadership that God puts in our life? Or will you see the task too enormous? Will you see the sons of Anak, those giants, and yourself as a grasshopper in its sight? Or will we, brothers and sisters in Christ, members of the Boiling Springs Baptist Church, will we see ourselves as giants in Christ in everything that God allows to be put in front of us as grasshoppers when we're walking with Him? We have great opportunity, great potential. How will we perform for God's glory?